All right, Alexandra, let's talk about the CPAC speech from Trump. And this is Trump back. He's back. And the first thing he said when he got on stage was, "Do you miss me? Have you missed me yet?" Something along those lines. That's how he opened up with. And it was a great speech. I mean, I always enjoy listening to Trump because I've always said that I could barely listen to 10 minutes of a normal politician speech. But Trump, I mean, it's just on a whole different level. I can listen to him speak for 2-3 hours because it's just, I mean, he's, I've never seen anything like it. Two leaders, actually. I can listen to like Putin's Q&As and I can listen to Trump give those speeches. And this was, I think he was in rare form. I mean, the two big announcements that everyone is talking about is the fact that he said that he's not going to start his own party. He says we already have the Republican Party, and okay, I could see that. I mean, he is the Republican Party at this point. We could definitely see that. You made a video about how Mitch McConnell pretty much was kissing Trump's butt about a week ago, and I think McConnell understands that as well. And the other big announcement that he hinted at, I mean, he teased about it, was that he is most likely going to be running in 2024. We still got 4 years till we get there, but he definitely hinted at that on multiple occasions. He talked a lot about the pandemic, about the Biden White House. He talked about big tech censorship. He touched on a lot of points, actually, but it was just a speech for the ages. I mean, it was a speech for the ages, and it's good to have Trump back. The crowd was fired up. I mean, they were cheering nonstop, and it was just a great speech. I think it was a great speech, and you know, I know that you think he broke all the norms, all the rules in a good way, in a good way. So let us know your impressions.
Well, I thought it was an absolutely astonishing speech. And when I say it broke the rules, rules of the political game, let me explain why. Because Donald Trump came to CPAC, and of course, he is no longer president. But what he did was he came and he gave a victory speech. He spoke to CPAC as if he's the winner, which, of course, in a sense, he is. But, I mean, that is really remarkable. I mean, a conventional politician would have come along to CPAC and say, yes, you know, we're no longer in the White House. We were defeated, but we can be proud of all the things we did. And we must come together and we must fight against the enemy. And we got lots to do and hard work ahead. But we'll rebuild the party and we'll rebuild the country and all those sort of things. Trump says nothing like that at all. Of course, he talks a lot about the achievements that he had as president, but he still sets himself out as the winner. He glows with confidence. He relates to the crowd in a way that no other politician in the United States can remotely do. He talks their language. As you rightly said, he fires them up. And they see him, and they don't see somebody who's just lost an election. They see somebody who's in the middle of the battle and is going to win. And as I said, it's quite remarkable, and it's so completely unlike how normal politicians work. I am not surprised that, you know, the establishment politicians in both major parties, both, you know, the Mitch McConnell wing of the Republican Party and, of course, the Democrats, watching and seeing all of this, are utterly befuddled and no doubt furious because they throw everything they can at this man and he won't stay down. I mean, you know, it's as if he just takes whatever they throw at him and he comes out ever stronger. And it's now absolutely clear that he's won the Republican Civil War. I've just done a program about this, which I think will be up shortly on my own channel. But remember, a few weeks ago, we were getting all these articles appearing in places like the New York Times about how, you know, Mitch McConnell was looking forward to the impeachment because he was going to use it to purge the Republican Party of Donald Trump. and purge also Donald Trump's followers. And here we see Donald Trump comes along to CPAC, and he's absolutely, obviously, and clearly the leader of the Republican Party. And it's fairly clear that he's looking to, instead of him being purged, he's looking to purge all of those Republicans, Republicans in name only, as he would say, who were ganging up on him. I mean, it is an astonishing speech, and it shows how he is far and away, remains far and away, the single most important politician in America now. He's not defeated. As far as he's concerned, he's winning. And he says that repeatedly in his speech. And the political establishment has no response to it. There was, on the contrary, an extraordinarily plaintive, bewildered piece on Washington Examiner, in one of the websites that are very close to the Republican Party leadership, which indicates their complete bafflement at this Trump phenomenon they simply can't get their heads around.
Yeah, I agree with that. No doubt about it. He actually, during his speech, he mentioned that the Republicans, that he would win, and the Republicans would win the White House for a third term. He said that, which was just, oh my God. What can you say? And then he also... I mean, you know, he's going to purge the Republican Party of the rhinos. I mean, he named them by name. He said Mitt Romney, yeah. Little Ben Sasse, Richard Burr, Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Pat Tomney. And then he concluded that segment by calling out warmonger Liz Cheney. Warmonger Liz Cheney. He also mentioned that Mitch McConnell would not have won without him. He was down by 1 point, and then Trump campaigned and he won by 20 points. And then Trump said, I don't know if I did the right thing. Maybe I didn't, but I did it. I mean, it was just, it was unbelievable.
It was. It was absolutely unbelievable. It was extraordinary. Can I also say, there's been a very interesting article by Patrick Buchanan, who is, of course, one of the great figures within conservative politics, maybe more as a thinker, though he has been active in politics on his own right. And he actually points out that there is now a very clearly defined policy. There is a set of policies and political ideas which are coherent and consistent with each other and do make and are definable as a Trump movement. I mean, he's against forever wars. He seeks America first. He's for immigration controls. Trump said a lot about immigration in this speech. He's talked about rebuilding America's industries, manufacturing, all of those things. It's a clear set of political positions and policies going forward, which are distinctive and attractive to tens of millions of people. And Donald Trump embodies them. And as I said, he comes along to CPAC and he just blows the people, we call the rhinos, the Collinses and the Sasses and the Romneys and all of those. He blows them away. And even people like Romney, are now grudgingly admitting that if Trump wants the nomination for 2024, he's got it. I mean, it's quite astonishing. And the humour and the sense of fun he brings to his speeches is, again, unique in American politics. I mean, contrast this with the sort of leaden language you get from people like Obama and Clinton. And, of course, Biden is even on a lower level again, if you like.
But I mean, he's fading. He's eroding.
Exactly. You don't have to pass Trump's words. You don't have to actually go through them and sort of subject them to the kind of forensic analysis that you have to do with other politicians, because they're completely clear. They're very straightforward. They speak directly to people in ways that no one else's words do. And as I said, he doesn't come across as somebody who's lost. He comes across as someone who feels he's winning. And that is hugely infectious. It projects optimism and dynamism in a way that no one else in American politics today is able to do. It's quite remarkable. I have to say, if there was ever any speech that Donald Trump has made over the course of his political career, which is, remember, very short, I think this one is for me the most extraordinary, the most unusual, and in many ways, ultimately, the most impressive. It's the lead, the speech of someone who not only, you know, is in a battle, but who loves a battle. You know, Franklin Roosevelt, FDR, they once said of him that he's a happy warrior. He was the happy warrior. That was what they called it. Called Donald Trump, Franklin Roosevelt, that he loved a fight. And this is true, again, of Donald Trump. He's a happy warrior. He loves the political fight. I don't mean, by the way, before anybody starts saying, you know, that he's inciting anybody to anything. It's just that he loves the political struggle, that he loves winning. He feels that he's winning and he's enjoying himself. And there is nothing more infectious in politics, nothing that attracts people more and draws people than somebody who projects optimism and a sense of fun and at the same time has a clear sense of direction and knows where he's going.
Yeah, you start to understand why they went through this sham impeachment theater thing. You start to understand why they put up wire fencing, why they had 30,000 National Guard troops. After this speech, you start to understand why Congress, why the swamp, the elites, all these people did what they did. When you listen to the speech, you understand why. They are truly afraid of this man and his movement. The main takeaway was America first, from America first to America last. This is going to be Trump's slogan, and I'm saying it here. It is going to be make America first again. MAFA, make America first again. That's going to be what Trump runs with. If the Trump team uses that, then please contact the Duran and we expect some sort of shout out, or maybe, I don't know, maybe royalties from the merchandise. I don't know. Anyway, make America first again. He is floating that out there. That is what they are going to run with. From the Daily Caller, Alexander, this is their tweet. Trump, quote, Trumpism means strong borders, no riots in the streets. In the streets, it means law enforcement. It means very strong protection for the Second Amendment. It means support for the forgotten man and woman who have been taken advantage of for so many years. End quote. That is what Trump said during his speech. Trumpism is now the Republican Party. It doesn't have anything to do with neocons. It doesn't have anything to do with going to wars in Iraq and Syria. He actually took the Biden White House to task for that as well. So Trumpism is the Republican Party. And you know, I think that speech pretty much asserted Trump's control of the Republican Party. This was the defining speech for the next 4 years.
It was. Absolutely. I mean, it is the speech which I predict in 4 years' time we're going to be looking back at and saying this was the speech that made the weather, that has dominated politics since then. Because, as I say, it's so remarkable, so extraordinary. You can see all the people, you know, the number crunching people in the DNC and, you know, the Mitch McConnell people huddled together trying to make sense of this, saying to themselves, you know, how does he do this? How is he able to come along and do this thing? Because we don't understand, they don't understand this kind of politics that Donald Trump has, because they've long since ceased to operate politics in that way. They don't understand any longer a political leader who's able to talk to people, because they don't talk to people, not in any meaningful or real sense. I mean, it's always when you see other leaders speak, it's in very controlled environments. Of course, again, with Biden, he takes it to a further level. But, you know, even a political leader like, say, Hillary Clinton or Kamala Harris or whomever, they don't come out and speak in this kind of way. And the other thing that's interesting about Trump is notice that it's a remarkable fact about him. He doesn't come across as angry. He comes across as happy. He's enjoying himself. The others are always angry, always outraged, always furious. He doesn't come across like that. But you're quite right. He has a clear set of policies, a clear set of political direction. And America, from American first to America last, is going to be absolutely devastating. And the Democrats have opened themselves up to that because, I mean, there's already apparently a disintegration of border controls on the southern border, which I predict is going to become a real crisis over the next few months. And it's very difficult to imagine the Democrat administration, the Biden administration, doing much about that, because if they do, well, that could lead the Democratic Party, the Democrat Party, into a major split. So that's we think about that. I've done a program about, you know, the Biden administration's economic policies. I think they're going to end in a car crash also. And again, they don't know how to adjust those because they don't have any real ability any longer to do that. And also their economic ideas, their social ideas, their border control ideas are not really responding to the real problems of America and the real concerns of many American people, most American people. So you're quite right. He is for the common man. That is, you know, let's remember that is what America was all about. You know, remember, you know, things like the fanfare to the common man that, you know, they used to play at Democrat Party conferences. That's what Trump stands for. That's what he is. And they are not. And they have no response to this. And if I can also say, he's also transforming the Republican Party from the party of war into the party of peace, which is an extraordinary step, actually. And I think he's won conclusively on this. But he's doing that at the same time as he is the leader, the person who stands for the soldier, the people, the sailor. He's going to support them too. He's not going to send them in pointless neocon wars in places like the Middle East or Afghanistan or wherever, you know, as part of some geopolitical chess game that the neocons have. He's going to focus on their concerns and he's going to be concerned about them and look after them. And he's going to make absolutely sure that the United States is well defended and strong in that respect, but also at peace. I have to say, I think it's a tremendously powerful message. And I don't really think his opponents, have a counter message that they have any idea how to put together which can respond to it. So we will see what happens. 4 years, as you say, is a long time in politics. But in some ways, given the length of the election cycle in the US, maybe it's not so long. And with a speech like this, well, he's made the weather. I think, as I said, the most interesting and impressive speech of his political career. That's my view.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so 4 years is a long time, but yeah, in politics, it may also be seen as not a long time. I mean, 2000, the midterms, you could say, are right around the corner. One could say that. But let's go off of what you said, and here are some concerns. Some positive and some concerns that I have. The Republicans, they did some polling in CPAC, and they found that 95% of the people there do want the Trump agenda to be reflective of the Republican Party. In other words, they want Trumpism. With or without Trump, they want that agenda to reflect the Republican Party. So they're firmly with Trumpism. They ran a straw poll, and 55% of the respondents said that they would vote Trump in the primaries, a huge win for Trump. Number two was DeSantis in Florida with 24%. And in number three, I believe, was Kristi Noem of South Dakota. So the Republicans definitely have a lot of strong people to put in the primaries and to run in the primaries, either president or to be vice president as well. They have strong people. The Democrats, they have no one of the caliber of DeSantis or Kristi Noem, and they definitely have no one on the same level as Trump. But as we said, it's 4 years. There's some time. Who knows what could happen? But saying that, my two concerns are, number one, if Trump does decide to run 2024, there's the age issue. Now, Biden is also 78. Okay. And Trump would be 78. So that's issue number one. Does Trump want to be president 78? He's hinting that he does. We don't know. We'll see. Time will tell us. That's one concern. And the second concern is the, I'm going to try to make this YouTube friendly as best I can, is the various amendments to the voting systems, the voting process, and that the Democrats will do more now to make sure that they, you know, cross their T's and dot their I's and make sure that the voting process is even more favorable to their liking. And they're going to make sure that the swamp is even stronger so as to prevent a Trump resurgence or anyone in the Trump ideology surging for the Republican Party. In other words, the swamp is going to take notice of this speech, and they're going to start to really make sure that another Trump thing doesn't happen in 2006 like it happened in 2016. So those are my two concerns.
Well, let's just unpack what you said. Let me first of all discuss your point about the fact that the Republicans have all the impressive leaders and the Democrats don't. Well, you have a weak president. We've discussed this already. We have a unpopular vice president. We've discussed this many times. We have a weak Secretary of State. We've discussed that too. We don't have at all an impressive leadership, Democratic Party leadership in Congress. I mean, Nancy Pelosi has shown herself, I think, out of touch and obsessive. She pursued this bizarre impeachment, and I don't think anybody imagines that Schumer is going to, you know, become a presidential candidate or anything like that. And in the two biggest Democrat-run states, New York and California, both the governors of those states, the Democrat governors of those states, are now in serious political trouble. So, and in, you know, possibly even more worse trouble than that. So you see that you're absolutely right. The Democrats actually, when you unpack it, they don't look in very good shape politically. But what about those two concerns that you have? Well, Donald Trump will be 78, but at the moment, he looks vital and full of energy and, frankly, much younger than his years. We'll see. I mean, obviously, if he starts to slow down between now and 2024, it could become an issue. But at the moment, that doesn't look to me to be a real serious problem. I mean, if he is as full of energy in 4 years' time as he is now, then I think, frankly, nobody is going to be very concerned about that. And I think that you will find that Democrats, if they try and bring that up, they will find themselves actually making a very, very bad case, given their own support for Joe Biden, who is, you know, the same age and, frankly, looks his years. So I don't think we need to be too concerned about that for the moment. The second issue is a very real concern. And we come back to that disastrous Supreme Court decision not to investigate all these issues, which Clarence Thomas, Alito and Gorsuch dissented against, and which Clarence Thomas spoke most strongly about. Because, of course, the failure of the Supreme Court to bring some order to this issue does leave open all sorts of real possibilities for mayhem of the kind that you discussed. The one thing I would say is that the Republicans control most of the houses of representatives in the various states up and down the United States. And most of those Republican houses of representatives seem to be far more alive to the problems now than they were then, and seem to be much more purposeful in doing all the sorts of things that perhaps ought to have happened previously. One of the reasons those sort of things happened before, remember, is that the Republicans didn't challenge them properly in courts. Hopefully this time there will be more challenges and more decisions and more actions taken. So we will see. But if I have to say which of the two concerns I think are the more valid ones, it's the second one that you identified, that I think it poses the greater concerns for the Republicans going forward than the first. I think Donald Trump, as I said, if he remains on top of his game, as he is now, is not going to have any problems with the age issue going forward.
Yeah. And just to wrap it up, I think if Trump is serious about a 2024 run, then he has to address the Rhino Mitch McConnell problem. That has to get addressed, because if he doesn't address the Mitch McConnell Rhino problem, then you're not going to be able to address what you just said about having, you know, local state houses, state legislators on board with making sure that the election is run properly and all these things. You need to have that leadership that's committed to fairness in place. If you don't have that, then it's going to be another big mess like what we saw in 2020.
I agree. I completely agree. I entirely agree with that. But as I said, I think that the Republicans are more alive to this issue now. And I think that with Trump basically much more in control of the movement and the party than he was previously. It's one of the consequences of the impeachment, by the way, it's actually consolidated his control of the Republican Party, achieving the exact opposite of what the Mitch McConnell wing were expecting and intending. So I assume that this time they will be better organised and more ready to respond to these kinds of challenges. In relation to, as I said, the purge of the rhinos, all I will say is this, sometimes just knocking out one or two might frighten off the rest, at least to some extent. So if he's able to see, for example, I'm just suggesting, if Liz Cheney runs into problems in the primaries in Wyoming, then, it may actually act as a major deterrent for some of the others. But to be honest, they are beginning to look very isolated and even marginal within the Republican Party now.
All right, we'll leave it there. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much. Guys, go to the Duran Shop, pick up some awesome merch. You will find the link to the Duran Shop down below. Maybe a cool t-shirt, a mug, a sweatshirt, another mug right there. You'll find all kinds of country flags. The link is in the description box down below. Look for Alexander's channel. That link is a hat. That's right. Look for Alexander's channel down below. Look for my channel down below. Rumble, Odyssey, and BitChute. All those links are there. All the links are down below. And also look for the Greek Travel Gurus link. They are having a special promotion for Duran viewers, for the Duran community. 10% off a booking and 20% off a private tour to Greece. That is right. The Greek Travel Gurus want to get you to Greece for the summer. And the best part about it is when you book with Greek Travel Gurus, it is risk-free up until the day you are about to travel. You do not have to worry about any sudden changes to travel requirements. You will your money spent, or the money that you will spend, is in safe hands with Greek Travel Gurus, and you run no risks there. 100% guaranteed if something goes wrong. you get your money back. You just use the code DuranGreeceTrip. You'll find that down below and you'll get your discounts and come in contact with Greek travel gurus. If you're planning to do some traveling this summer, then come to Greece and use those codes.
And indeed, absolutely. And this is a bespoke service. If you want to travel to Greece, they can shape your travel, your holiday there, to absolutely whatever your in needs and interests and wishes are. So if you're interested in classical antiquity and you want to tour the famous archaeological sites, which are some of the most amazing in the world, then, of course, Greece provides that and they can arrange it. And if you want another sort of holiday, a holiday by the beach or a holiday, hiking in the mountains or by the sea, well, they can arrange that too. So they are absolutely the people you should go to visit Greece, one of the most beautiful countries in Europe, in my opinion, the most beautiful country in Europe, but that's my view. And also one of the most ancient and historic and historically important and culturally important in the world.
All right, Alexander Rutgers, thank you very much. Take care, everybody.